Chapter 13. Anima Phage. The gilded blister of Agarth's palace dominated the city hub. The dozen avenues dividing the artificial moonlit districts met in a plaza beneath the palace's baroque underside. Thus exalted over all, the arch-comptroller's private domain crowned Zenith 312. Korax advanced along a service catwalk suspended high above one of the avenues. The walkway was broad enough for the city's large maintenance drones to traverse. 10 men could comfortably walk upon it abreast between the lattice of cables that hung the walkway from the city's roof. An access shaft moulded into the fluid forms of the ceiling supports lay dead ahead of him, its concealed door leading back into station skin. A second was some 400 meters behind his position. The avenue was impressively large, accommodating parkland and a town of some size. Down the centre, a track for autonomous transit pods ran on pillars through the quiet glades and public gardens. Rich buildings stood alone in the park, gathering in number until they became streets, then packed ever more densely until they blended into the structure of the city's massive internal walls. Woods dotting the park grew up the sides of the buildings in lush tangles, all Terran species, some extinct upon the world of man's birth. At one point a lake filled the avenue from side to side, its deep blue waters crossed by the pod line. Sinuous walkways wound their way over marshes full of birds. Korax cast eyes over a living world unto itself, a cosmic oasis adrift upon the void. The myriad stars of space shone through faceted domes too big to shutter that rose up at the high points in the roof like the triumphant notes of a symphony. This paradise was the home of the elite. The squalor Korax had witnessed elsewhere seemed 1,000 light-years away. The plaza beneath Agarth's palace was equally impressive, its patterned paving adorned with graceful sculptures. Through its monumental precincts, the long, pollen-hazed distances of other avenues were visible. The beauty of Zenith 312 was the equal of any constructed environment Korax had seen elsewhere, but presently it was crammed with refugees hiding from the war. There were tens of thousands of them, many ragged and out of place in their lush surroundings. They gathered most tightly towards the giant plaza, as if their lord could personally protect them. Down the avenue, back towards the front, the power was out, and though the dark zone was as safe as the lit area, the people huddled instinctively away from it. The domes in the ceiling provided a panorama of the battle to the civilians. They watched the dance of warships transfixed, fear writ plainly on every face. Korax cursed Agarth for corralling his people so close to himself. He erected a shield of innocent lives around his palace. The Primarch loathed him all the more for that. Then the people began to die. Death came to the edge of the crowd first. Primarchs were possessed of acuity of vision far beyond that of a normal man, and Korax noticed odd movements among the people as soon as they began. He slowed his advance and looked directly down at a wide meadow 200 meters below. The movement emanated from atmospheric venting ducts hidden in the landscape. People closest to the vents began to choke and shriek. Shock grew swiftly into a panic that moved outward like the ripples kissed into a field of wheat by the wind. The metaphor was not a natural one to the prison-raised Korax. The first time he had seen crops growing outside was not so long ago. But what he saw looked like nothing else but the pattern in long grasses. People surged one way, saw the same choking death coming from another direction, and surged back, their arms waving over their heads. It was momentarily hypnotic, until they began to fall. Nervous chatter burst into a roar of screaming, and the crowd broke in every direction. Alarms rang in Korax's helm. Short vox bursts bounced from man to man in the dispersed cadre of Shadowmasters. He clicked out a code burst, bringing them all to a halt. "There's something in the atmospheric mix," he said, braving open broadcast. Pipes crowded the space over the serviceway. Funnels every 80 meters wheezed out air, interspersed intakes huffing it back in. He flicked through the viewing options provided by his auto-senses. High-spectrum vision revealed a carrier agent billowing out of the vents in sinister clouds. The gas was but the bearer of bad tidings. It carried the worst news of all.
"Viral agent, close down your breathing masks," Korax commanded. "Switch to vacuum operation protocols."
More chimes sang in his helm. People in a crowd are motes of information. They lose their individuality, becoming particles as predictable as those oscillating through a liquid. They stampeded away from the rings of death, spreading out through their number in inevitable patterns. They shoved, bounced off each other, and crushed those that fell down in their rush to escape. The greater battle in the heavens was forgotten. Hundreds fled up the avenue, streaming into the dark like sand through the neck of an hourglass. But the disease was quickly diffused through the whole of the space. Korax saw it through his enhanced false color vision as a rolling violet fog. There was no escape. The inhabitants of Zenith 312 fell as they ran, tongues swelling in their mouths, eyes rolling back. A lucky minority collapsed within three breaths. The rest fell in spasms, beating at their skulls at the agony sprouting inside, tearing at their own flesh and frothing from their mouths. In seconds, it was all over. The crowd collapsed into a pointillist mosaic of brightly coloured clothes, the figures tessellated by outflung limbs into disturbingly regular patterns. One of the Mor Dathan broke the dreadful silence, his calm voice preceded by the crisp click of incoming vox traffic.
"My lord, what are your orders?" the Shadow Master asked.
"Essential communications only," Korax ordered. "We are vulnerable to detection."
He walked forward, passing directly through the rush of contaminated air. His eyes darted across the crowd below. Every human being was dead. Anger flooded his soul.
"What kind of tyrant murders his own people?" said Korax to himself. "Why has he done this?"
Moments passed. The pulsing locator runes of his Mor Dathan moved silently over his helm cartograph.
"My lord, there is some movement here among the dead,"
voxed one of the warriors. The name Dio Enkern blinked up in Korax's helm.
"Maybe survivors?"
"Investigate," Korax commanded. "The rest of you stay in the shadows."
Korax located Enkern, moving through a square of bluish grassland. He darted from tree to tree, maximizing his cover, then ran to the shelter of a transit line pillar.
"Here,"
Enkern voxed. He stopped at the edge of a group of people. Korax watched as he approached. Arms stirred, legs jerked, heads flopped. Enkern moved cautiously, his bolt gun ready. Other movement drew Korax's eye away. Across the sea of corpses, knots of similar activity stirred.
"I have life signs. Auto-senses show minimal heart patterns returning to normal,"
voxed Enkern. He paused.
"Their hearts were still. Respiration and circulation restarting all around me. None of them are dead."
All across the crowds there were signs of life. A dread foreboding gripped Korax. Enkern's voxed shout drew Korax's attention back to his son.
"Beware! They can see me!"
A man was sitting up in the middle of the group. He stared at Enkern, trembling fingers lifted towards him. Korax frowned. It should not be possible. He linked with Enkern's auto-senses to check. Stealing a look through his son's eyes, he saw it was true. The man was staring directly at the Shadow Master. Others of the fallen people were getting to their feet, swaying unsteadily, all of them staring at the Mor Dathan. They bared their teeth. Hisses and snarls escaped their mouths.
"Stay back,"
Enkern said. He repeated himself in Karanayan trade argo. More of the crowd were getting to their feet. Korax took in their glazed eyes and clashing teeth. He had never seen this before, but he had an inkling what it was.
"Enkern, withdraw immediately," said Korax.
"Understood,"
said Enkern. He began to fall back. His suspicions aroused, the Primarch engaged his armor's higher-level cognitional functions. Korax's war gear was individual to himself, equipped with unique subsystems that played to his strengths. Included in his sensorium were multiple auguries and analysis cogitators. His auto-senses tasted the disease on the air. sliced it to pieces, spelled out the nature written in its genetic code. Something complex and ancient. Something so evil it could only have come from the depths of man's wickedness and refined at the heights of his power. He cursed.
Animaphage, he said in disgust.
An ancient disease, programmed to rewrite a human's brain, wiping out his higher functions and transforming him into an unreasoning beast.
All of you withdraw. These people cannot be helped. They have become a danger to us. Keep your armor sealed.
The gene coding was bewilderingly complex, even to his Primarch's mind, and the data his battleplate presented was insufficient for him to decide if the agent would affect his sons. He thought it probable. The Emperor's gene forging was supreme, but the genitors of the Age of Technology were master artisans of death. Gunshots burst off to his right. Korax glanced down. One of his other men was moving through the crowd on the other side of the park. The afflicted were running at him. Where before he had walked unseen, now he was visible and trapped. He moved rapidly towards the sanctuary of a building, barging through the crowd where he could, letting off shots with deadly grace when he could not, each one a perfect hit. The runners exploded. Ordinarily, bolt guns inspired terror, but the crowd had lost all reason. More controlled bolt fire sounded from a dozen locations around the avenue.
"Conserve your ammunition," Korax ordered. "Withdraw. They no longer have minds that can be tricked by the shadow gift. You must fall back now."
A hollow groan came from Korax's left. A group of afflicted had come down onto the catwalk from the access point behind him. As soon as they saw him, they broke into a shambling gallop. Their eyes were dead of thought, replaced by a desire to rend flesh. They had no fear of him. As they reached him, Korax cut them down with his lightning claws. The sounds of the disruption fields drew more onto the catwalk from the nearer access way. Cursing, Korax abandoned stealth entirely. He brought his armor systems to full power and opened his strategic voxlink. Immediately, reports streamed in from all over the city. The entire population was affected. 200,000 Karanians now stood against the Legion, along with 8,000 Imperial Army soldiers turned from allies to enemies. Everyone on board who was not wearing breathing equipment had fallen, and in the worst affected areas, all of those who were as well. In one stroke, Agarth had turned the entire city against the Raven Guard. A series of careful surgical strikes had become a battle against a massed enemy. Along the front, hordes of violent citizens were attacking his men. Behind the line of conquest, where regiments of standard humans were intermingled with space marines, anarchy reigned as mindless soldiers turned on the Legion. All reports were delivered to a background of thumping bolt gun fire. More afflicted poured onto the catwalk from the surface access. In seconds they were all over him, snarling and clawing. Their fingernails ripped free of their beds in the fury. Their fingers broke on his ceramite. They scrabbled at him so hard the flesh was stripped from their fingertips, leaving smears of blood all over the black of his armor. They could not get through, but they could drag him down. Korax lashed out. His claws slashed many of the afflicted to ruin, but more took their place and pressed at him. They piled on him, drooling mouths working out painful moans, eyes rolling, teeth shattered on the edges of his armor plates. He could slaughter them forever, and it would do no good. He turned quickly, hurling them from his back, and forced his way to the edge of the walkway. The cables holding up the catwalk prevented his escape. Korax shrugged a biting man off his shoulder and swept his claws through. Plasteel parted with melodic twangs. The walkway swayed, but did not fall. Korax plucked a ravening man from his back, using him as a bludgeon to swat away the afflicted. Setting his shoulders forward, he held both claws out sideways and launched himself at the side of the walkway again, cleaving dozens of hawsers in two. Red-hot ends whipped around, cutting limbs loose. The afflicted fought on until they bled out. Half-supported, the catwalk sagged under the combined weight of Korax and his attackers. Still, he could not get free. He was a caged bird, trapped by a press of howling men and women. Limbs flailed at him weakly as their owners were crushed to death beneath Korax's bulk and the push of those coming from behind. There were hundreds on the walk now, drawn by the sounds of conflict. In a few seconds, he would be buried beneath a tide of mindless flesh. Korax slashed downwards with his claws. Metal and sparks tumbled into the open air as he sectioned the grill of the catwalk. Steam burst from ruptured pipes. The afflicted leapt onto him as quickly as he could toss them away. Hands attempted to wrench his helmet from his head. He flung out his arms, spun around to clear a space, and with a thought spread the corvidine pinions, his marvellous mechanical wings. Plasteel feathers burst from the housings on his back to mince half a dozen of the afflicted. More took their place. His wings and claws switched about, their razored metal decapitating and maiming. Still they hurled themselves at him. Shouting his anger, Korax dragged his arms free of clumsy grasps and cut at the floor one last time. The catwalk lurched and fell, cables pinging as it peeled away from the roof. Conduits snapped with showers of sparks. Human bodies tumbled, teeth still snapping as they plummeted, until the moment of their impact and their second death. Korax hurled an afflicted from his face, his wings slashed, obliterating human bodies clinging to him. Finding some balance, he ignited the flight pack jets, incinerating those who raked at his legs. Korax went into a spiral, his flight upset by the human beasts still hanging onto him. He smote at them and crushed them until he was free and flying high. He swooped over the crowd of afflicted, who bayed and chased him, though they could not catch him. Quickly, he assessed the situation. His warriors, those rare Shadow Lords, were surrounded. Not one was easy prey, but they were attacked, and many were dragged down, their armor torn free and their bodies clawed to pieces. One by one, the bark of bolt guns fell silent. Korax saw a number escape, clambering high and fast up roof supports. The strength of their armor helped them. Once out of the crowds, they were faster than the mind-wiped and outpaced them. But the afflicted were everywhere, and warriors who fought out of one group of shrieking people ran straight into another. Korax could carry his sons to safety one at a time, but which first? His eyes darted from warrior to warrior, calculating the order that would allow him to save the most. Screaming in frustration that he could not help them all, Korax dived hard towards Enkern. He pulled up hard before he impacted the ground, his jets blasting a dozen of the afflicted to ash. The sweep of his blades cut down a swathe more. Bodies burst under his boots as he landed. Claws out, he cut his way through to his son.
"With me, Enkern!"
he bellowed. Enkern was out of bolt rounds, and his gun was jammed with gore from its use as a bludgeon. He slapped it to his thigh and lunged for Korax's outstretched hand. Ceramite gripped ceramite. Korax blasted upwards. He scanned the area, seeking a place of safety. He found one on the highest terrace of a leisure palace. The Mordaithan Ledenin had already reached the place. Korax deposited Enkern alongside his squad brother. Ledenin had locked the doors leading off the balcony into an entertainment area within. The delights of the building were overturned. Shattered furnishings and fine glassware were scattered among bodies felled by Ledenin. On the far side of the windows, crowds of degenerates gathered. They pressed those at the front so hard they were pinned against the glass. These were truly dead. The air crushed out of them, but they remained upright.
"There is strength in numbers," Korax said. "Fight together. I will bring the others here."
He was away again, swooping like a hawk into the howling mass. Another of his sons he rescued, then a third. The fourth he could not save, but watched in anger as he was dragged under a writhing forest of limbs. Korax blasted upwards, screaming as loudly as his jets. On his faceplate, the signum runes of his sons blinked out. Of the 12 Mordaithan who had accompanied him into the city's heart, 9 remained. 5 had made their way from the parklands on their own, 3 together, the other 2 alone. The 4 on the terrace were trapped. He returned to aid them. The Primarch's landing cracked the paving. The 4 Mordaithan stood ready, their bolters aimed at the glass. Enkern had field-stripped and cleaned his weapon. Between them they had maybe 300 rounds.
"That glass will not hold," said Ledenin.
Korax stared at the mindless herd massing indoors.
"My lord," Enkern said, "as far as I can ascertain, all exits are blocked by afflicted, pursuing our brothers. I suggest you depart. We will hold here and wait to be relieved."
The glass creaked. Thousands of the afflicted were pouring into the building, pressing into those already there. At the front of the crowd, one of them split open along his belly. He was only the first.
No, said Korax. You will die. I will not allow you to waste yourselves like this. There is a way out.
He looked upwards to the arcade roof.
Into the void.
He flung himself skyward, claws outstretched, and crashed into one of the transparent domes. Diamond-hard glass met monomolecular claws, sheathed in lightning. Spears of energy discharge skittered over the glass, earthing themselves in the plasteel muntins, separating the giant triangular panes from each other. Korax drew back. The pain was pitted. He dropped towards the ground, arresting his plummet with a rush of exhaust and spread wings. He twisted and boosted his jets into rapid ascent. He slammed into the dome, his claws unerringly finding the weakness in the glass. Korax punched through in a spray of shards, which escaped Zenith 312's weak gravity and wheeled off into the void. A gushing white curl of escaping atmosphere followed him. Over the roar of escaping atmosphere, it was hard to hear his son's vox messages.
"My lord, the afflicted have broken through the glass!"
Boltfire followed. Korax fought his way down through the hurricane. Violent currents tossed him about as he flew back to the terrace. A single sheet in the run of windows on the terrace had fallen to pieces. The afflicted forced their way through, shredding themselves on the jagged edges. Enkern, Ledinen, and the rest pumped their remaining bolts into the advancing horde with admirable parsimony, each shot delivered only when necessary. Torsos burst, heads exploded. The afflicted slipped in the spilled guts of their fellows, but the Space Marines might as well have cast pebbles to stop an avalanche. Korax grabbed the first of his sons by his backpack and bore him to the breach leading to the void. He threw him bodily into the rush of air and dived back down. The second he took moments later. By then the afflicted were fanning out, coming at Korax's warriors from all sides. With the volume of fire coming at them reduced, the horde pressed the Mor Dathan hard. Korax took Enkern as the third, just as the afflicted's grasping hands were reaching for black armor. Ledinen was left alone.
"Stay alive, my son!"
Korax shouted. Ledinen responded with a spray of fully automatic fire. With Enkern thrown through the storm and into the safety of the void, Korax plunged again. Ledinen was lost under a seethe of once men.
"Father!"
Ledinen's vox crackled in Korax's ear. The Primarch swept over the pile, breaking it apart with wing and claw as he flew past, and wheeled back around. There was nowhere to land. The terrace was packed. Ledinen pushed out from the slop of dismembered bodies and cast himself from the balcony edge before the afflicted could catch him again. Korax dived after his falling son, wings shrieking through the vanishing air. He lurched as he caught Ledinen. The legionary's weight dragged them both groundwards. From the parkland, a forest of hands reached for them. Firing his flight pack jets on full burn, Korax brought their plummet under control. The Primarch hauled his son away mere centimetres before his feet were snatched by the afflicted. He accelerated away from the howling mob. Korax rode the decompression gale through the hole and into the void. Hundreds of vox messages bombarded him from all quarters. The attack had been thrown into disarray. No more did the void dance with war. Weapons fire had ceased from virtually all quadrants of Zenith 312. Like the Imperium, the Carinaeans utilized servitor technology. In every cyborg dwelled a human brain, and though most were sorry, pruned things, they were as susceptible to the animaphage's aggressive rewiring as a normal being's. The battle was now confined within the city halls. Korax's plans to take Zenith 312 quickly and intact were in ruins. The rescued Shadowmasters were caught in the city's weak gravity well and drifting back, controlling their approach with bursts of their stabilization jets. Korax's wings furled, his jets powered down. Automated emergency systems in the Grand Arcade were closing off the exits to contain the breach and save the rest of the city. The flow of air slackened. Soon the mindless citizens would begin to die for want of oxygen. The Primarch brought himself to a floating halt and set his armor vox to broadcast on all channels.
"Hear me, Agath of Zenith 312, he said.
Such rage infused his words that all who heard it trembled.
"This atrocity you have perpetrated upon your people will not go unpunished. You cannot hide. You cannot run. I shall find you and make you suffer for your deeds today."
Static hiss greeted Korax's pronouncement. Agarth had no response. He turned to face his ships.
"Bring yourselves to the surface," he told the Mordathan. "Maintain constant broadcast of your signum beacons. He will be retrieved. I must return without you."
He reset his jets to vacuum burn. Angling himself towards the fleet, he flew as fast as he could to the Savior in shadow.